Welcome to the Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening this week. A little more than 4 months before open enrollment is due to begin for another year of Obamacare, and the U.S. Senate is expected to vote on its repeal and replace effort in the week ahead. After weeks of private negotiations, Senate Republicans unveiled their Better Care Reconciliation Act on Thursday. It's the Senate version to replace the Affordable Care Act. Now, Florida has more at stake in this debate than any other state, and South Florida has more than any other part of the Sunshine State, with over 600,000 people signed up for individual coverage through the Affordable Care Act this year. The eight congressional districts with the largest number of people getting health insurance through Obamacare, all of them are in South Florida. 13 senators have been working on their version of the American Health Care Act. That's the bill that the House has approved, and the Senate leaders are calling for a vote perhaps as early as next week. Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio, not among that 13, though. He told CNN's State of the Union last weekend there's no need to rush it.
If it is an effort to rush it from a small group of people straight to the floor on an up or down vote, that would be a problem. The Senate rules are not conducive to that sort of action. And so, again, I think that we need to all kind of stop here and understand that no matter what that group works on and produces, it's only a starting position. From that, every other senator will have an opportunity, I believe, should have an opportunity to weigh in and make changes or propose changes.
And that may slow down what the Senate leadership would like to see when it comes to health care reform. In the meantime, Obamacare remains the law of the land, and Florida Blue has committed to selling individual plans in all 67 counties of the state next year. Proposed rate premiums are due this week with the state's insurance commissioner. Now, the health insurer has said that if the tax subsidy that most Floridians use to pay for their health care and Obamacare goes away, premiums would be about 20% higher. Molina Healthcare has said it will file plans to sell Obamacare insurance plans in Florida, and Centene also plans to expand its ACA offerings here. So healthcare in South Florida is where we begin this week's Florida Roundup. Nancy Ankrum is the Miami Herald's editorial page editor. Sergio Bustos is with us via Skype. He's the senior editor for Politico Florida. And Rick Christie is the Palm Beach Post's editorial page editor with us from Boynton Beach. Rick, let's begin with you. What's at stake for South Florida in this repeal and replace effort?
Well, I mean, first of all, as you pointed out, the large number of people who are on Medicaid that are at risk for losing some or all of their coverage from the lack of Medicaid expansion. And I think that that has a lot of people nervous in Palm Beach County, and I know in Broward and Miami-Dade County as well, that right now they don't know what kind of coverage they may or may not have after any type of cuts are made to the Medicaid expansion.
Nancy, how about it? Certainly the unknowns exist out there, but as it sits right now, we are 4.5 months away from another open enrollment period. Obamacare remains the law of the land, including Florida.
Right, absolutely, and will, no matter what is passed, for probably the next few years. You know, what South Florida has in elected officials in Congress, it has one congresswoman who is leaving, and that gave her the impetus to
Hello?
Say, gosh, I don't like this at all.
Congresswoman Eliana Ross Lehtinen.
In the Senate, though, we have, as you mentioned, a senator who is not one of the 13. And from the clip that you just played, sounds like he hasn't been clued in, mm-hmm. and he's wishing and hoping that the process will allow for other senators to have input. However, that has not been Mitch McConnell's plan.
Who's the leader of the United States Senate. The two politicians you mentioned are key here. One in the House, Congresswoman Ross Lehtinen, whose congressional district has the singularly most highest number of Affordable Care enrollees.
Absolutely.
And she's not returning for reelection, so she won't face voters again, should there be a reconciliation act between the Senate and the House, and should there be another House vote. How does this, I suppose, political reality free her from approaching this topic any different than she did during the first go around?
Well, I hope it does, and I think she is really feeling her Wheaties there. you know, my concern.
Yeah, healthy breakfast, though, right? Yeah, sure.
My concern, though, that there will not be a Republican counterpart in the Senate. And Senator Rubio, who was definitely in the forefront of Trump's revisions in the U.S.-Cuba policy. Mm-hmm. I have to ask, where is his voice, given how many people in Florida are relying on the Affordable Care Act right now?
How about that, Rick? Senator Rubio in 2010, 2011, the Gang of Six, the Gang of Eight regarding immigration reform. How much was it? Was it eight?
Eight.
Immigration reform. He was a leader in that. Here we are, 13. And Florida, despite the fact that it has more Affordable Care Act enrollees than any other state, is not a member, did not have a seat at this table that negotiated, at least in private, the parameters around this Senate repeal and replace effort.
Right. Well, I guess simply in Bill Nelson's case, our senior senator, he was a Democrat, so he wasn't really given a seat at the table.
There were no Democrats at the table in this regard.
Right. Yeah. But in Senator Rubio's case, what I remember, I believe, from his campaign is that he's never had any great love for the Affordable Care Act. As a matter of fact, that was one of the things that he used in his campaign to actually boost him and to win against Charlie Crist. So I'm not really that surprised that he has not been a part of any rewrite, reform, repeal, or replace at this point, because I just don't think he's that interested in seeing the ACA survive.
You know, Rick is right. He has no love for the ACA. However, he does need to have some love for his constituents and realize the state that he represents.
1.7 million Floridians, enrollees in the Affordable Care Act. Sergio Bustos, let me bring you in here via Skype, senior editor for Politico Florida. How do you see the reality of the politics being staked out here with Senator Rubio prior to the public release of the Senate repeal and replace effort cautioning patients?
You know, unfortunately, I think Florida is not going to be in the middle of this in terms of the Senate, because right now there are so many folks coming out against this. You've got a group of conservatives led by Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, who've already said this afternoon, or who've already said that they're going to oppose it because it doesn't go far enough. Then you've got moderates. You know, folks like Susan Collins of Maine. You've got some others around the country that, again, are not in favor of it because it's too tough, mm-hmm. Maybe too mean, as Donald Trump had said a couple days ago. So I think the fight is really going to be among this moderate and super conservative group, which Senator Rubio has not really been aligned with that super conservative group. But I will say this, as your other panelists have said, Rubio called the Affordable Care Act a disaster, mm-hmm. and repeatedly said that. So you're not going to see a fight down here between Nelson and Rubio, or them trying to sway them like they did in the House when they were trying to sway Ileana Ross-Lehtinen, Brian Mast, Mario Diaz-Balart, and Carlos Corbello, for that matter. This fight's going to be with other senators in other states.
We are talking about the effort to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, its impact on South Florida. That was Sergio Bustos, senior editor at Politico Florida. Rick Christie is also along with us, editorial page editor at the Palm Beach Post, and Nancy Ankrum heads up the op-ed page at our partner, the Miami Herald. This is the Florida Roundup. I'm Tom Hudson. Let me ask regarding, again, the political realities, Sergio. You mentioned Representative Corbello. Back in May, he voted for the House version of this when it was called the American Health Care Act. And he wrote in an editorial that was published, Nancy, in the Miami Herald, but I want Sergio to answer this first. He spoke about, "I received strong assurances that major improvements would be made in the Senate," to describe why he supported the reforms that thousands of people in his district may lose coverage because of. Were those major improvements found in the Senate version?
Well, judging from what it is so far, it doesn't look that way. It'll be curious to see how he reacts once he gets a copy and is able to read it and go through it. But right now, it looks like a little less severe than the House version, but no less. But it is going to be a very, very harsh bill. I mean, it's a massive one. It's 142 pages. It would literally tear down large parts of the 2010 health care law, the Affordable Care Act, CAP Medicaid, which is one of the nation's biggest entitlement programs. And it's going to overhaul one-sixth of the U.S. economy. So there's a lot there to unwind.
A big bill at over 100 pages, but it's dwarfed by the more than 1,000-page Affordable Care Act legislation from a few years ago. So size of bills, I guess, is all relative. Nancy, let me have you respond, though, to Representative Curbelo's essentially the assurances that he received from the Senate that whatever he thought was broken in it, but he still approved in the House, have been addressed.
I think that he was naive to have that kind of faith. He needed to duke it out in the House on his own terms, on the terms of that would benefit his constituents. You know, he's been in the forefront, as a matter of fact, of climate change, right, bringing together a bipartisan group of people to deal with this issue. I wish he had done the same for this issue rather than expressing great faith that something was going to be better.
He partnered with his Democratic colleague Ted Deutsch from up in the Broward and Palm Beach area. Rick,
right,
Christie,
mm-hmm.
you up there in solid Democratic congressional territory. What's the conversation likely to be had with those House members if this Senate legislation winds up back in the other chamber?
Well, I think it'll probably end up being what it was before. That is, they're not going to really support anything that would repeal and replace it, that they're still pushing for. Look, I don't think I've ever heard anyone who advocated for the Affordable Care Act ever call it perfect. It always needed to be tweaked. It always needed to be fixed. I think the point that we're at now, you know, is that for all Democrats, it's a matter of tweaking and fixing. For example, like the Cadillac tax, which a number of people want to see go away, particularly employers. I think the Senate bill actually maintains that 40% tax, which is not going to make employers like my own very happy.
Mm-hmm. This is a tax that was put on what was deemed relatively rich healthcare plans,
right,
generous healthcare plans. But the Senate bill, like the House bill at the core, repeals that individual mandate, gets rid of that, which is kind of the underpinning of the Affordable Care Act, and it actually lowers the income amount for folks to qualify for the tax credits. So in other words, you can't be making as much money and still get a tax subsidy to help pay your health care premium. And Nancy, 90-some-odd% of Floridians, of these 1.8 million Floridians, have a tax credit in order to pay,
right,
for their health care.
They have a tax credit and they need a tax credit. This is just a transparently political piece of legislation to reward, and you know, I'm not urging or you know, class warfare here, but to reward people who don't need it, to reward more affluent and wealthier Americans, again at the expense of people who really need it. Medicare was tweaked and tweaked and tweaked for decades. So mm-hmm. the professed need to jettison Obamacare really is nothing but a political statement.
And those that have fought Obamacare for a long time, Nancy, have said it in itself is a wealth transfer mechanism, and that the Republican Party is essentially trying to reverse,
right,
some of that in this legislation. But Sergio Bustos, let me ask you, the Medicaid expansion effort under the Affordable Care Act never took root in the state of Florida. It held up at least one legislative session that we know of in the last few years because of it. These bills, these reform and replace bills, look to roll back Medicaid expansion. Since Florida never did it, are we immune to whatever new reality we may see in Medicaid?
No, absolutely not, because under the plans that I've been reading is – you're looking at a major deep reduction in Medicaid. And that's going to be a very tough pill to swallow in Florida because of the large number of folks on it, even without the legislature having expanded it back in 2015. And another big one is the pre-existing conditions.
Right.
The fence sitters in the House, and I gave you those names, including Curbelo, Diaz-Balart, Brian Mass, a lot of them brought up the pre-existing conditions provision. this plan now from the Senate, it would keep the Affordable Care Act requirement that everyone accept, folks with pre-existing conditions, but it would allow states to waive other insurance requirements, including rules for what benefits insurers, what they've got to cover, and weaken some of the protections. So on the one hand, it looks like it's going to help those with pre-existing conditions, but then it leaves it to the states, and that will make for an interesting governor's race in 2018, if in fact right. All this plays out.
Yeah, Rick Christie, your thoughts?
I agree. I think that one of the problems that that Republicans have had, I know obviously on the House side when this was going through the House and barely passed there, was pre-existing conditions. And they tried to get around that by saying, well, if you read the bill, it says that we're not taking away pre-existing conditions. But if you are giving the states the opportunity or whatever to be able to change that or mm-hmm. in any way, then that protection, that full protection that people are now enjoying, is not going to be there anymore. And that has a lot of people scared. I know that when Brian Mast has had his town halls here, that's what he has heard full-throated from his constituents in terms of their concerns. Everyone keeps bringing up the issue of pre-existing conditions.
And what these bills do, both the House and the Senate version, is essentially allow states to apply for waivers from these federal regulations. So while arguably you could state that the legislation keeps these regulations in place, it loosens the criteria for states to qualify for waivers should they decide to. And Rick and Sergio and Nancy, given Florida's history under Governor Scott and fighting federal health care regulation, one could make an argument with Republicans also in the state house that Florida would be one of those states, perhaps, that would file for these kinds of waivers that not only would go after pre-existing conditions, but also would go after the essential health benefits, the 10 kind of cover areas of all of the ACA plans. Those could be waived. The medical loss ratio, in other words, insurance companies would be freed from having to spend a certain amount of the money on health claims versus on other. And it would also potentially get rid of the limitations on the ability of health insurance companies to charge older people more money for health care compared to younger people.
Specifically, the insurers would be allowed under the Senate plan to charge older customers five times more than younger ones for the same health plan.
Yep.
Under Obamacare, the ratio is 3-1. That, again, was another big issue for the fence sitters in the House, and it's one that tipped Ileana Ross-Lehtinen over to oppose the bill because of the high cost.
Right. And that's the thing. What people need to realize is that this is not any kind of legislation to cut costs. It's simply going to shift them. And the mm-hmm. burden is going to fall to the people who can least afford it. People don't understand how much late care that comes later in someone's condition, how expensive that is.
Yeah.
When insurance coverage, when premiums, yes, though high, and this is where the tweaking needed to come in, can alleviate so much of those costs.
But much of that can happen under a Medicare plan, not necessarily in the open insurance, the private insurance market like this. But Rick Christie, to that point, take ourselves back in the way back time machine and conversation back during the Clinton administration regarding health care reform and then the early years of the Obama administration during health care reform. And even to some degree still on the edges here, the original intent of all of this has been to address the escalating cost of care.
Right.
And so to that question, the fundamental issue, I think, and question to ask to the representatives and senators is how do any of these plans go after the cost of care?
Right. Actually, I kind of wrote that down as a note, but as a question, more affordable. And I think that's really what it comes down to. As you said, increasing access, it's called the Affordable Care Act, and it's increasing access to care, because at one point, if you remember, and I'm sure you all do, that at one point there were somewhere around 45 million people in this country mm-hmm. who were not insured. And if you count the number of uninsured, that number would probably double. And Florida had somewhere around 4.5 million. Mm-hmm. And even Jeb Bush realized this in the waning days of his governorship and wanted to try to do something about it. As you said, it comes down to whether or not any of these plans are going to make it more affordable for more people to afford get health care. And it's just not seeming that way when you're talking about cutting the subsidies and not expanding Medicaid to do that. It's very tough to do because you're talking about two different things here. There's a health care system reform. And then there's a health insurance system. Mm-hmm. And that is what makes this thing so difficult. That's why the Affordable Care Act was so many more pages than this 100 and I think it's 142, 147 pages in the Senate bill. You know, and that's the problem. That's where this thing needs to be tweaked and needs to be fixed. Those two things have to be worked on and work together.
We're going to leave health care for now and move on to education, something just as thorny in the Sunshine State. The competition is on now for public dollars between public schools and charter schools. That's still to come as the Florida Roundup continues after this.